It's Hypnotized with Bill and Nikki, live from coast to coast. Just sit back for a spell, put your conscious mind on cruise, and let your unconscious come out to play.
Hi, this is Bill Gladwell, and welcome to Hypnotized with Bill and Nikki. Say hi, Nikki.
Hi.
We have a show for you today, but what I'd like to do is give you some phone numbers out in case you want to call in. If you're in the U.S., the toll-free number is 1-877-876-5227. Again, that's 1-877-876-5227. That's in the U.S. If you're in Canada, it's 888-815-9756. You can also visit us at bbsradio.com or on our website at www.bill-nikki.com. And Nikki is N-I-K-K-I. All right, Nikki, what do we got going on today?
We have a very, very special guest who is a very dear personal friend of ours, Christopher Scott, who is a Christopher, I'm going to let you kind of say what you do. You do a little bit of everything. I know you do the psychic and you do the mediumship and all kinds of stuff. So I'm going to let you say what you do. But Christopher Scott, website is celestialprophecies.com. Hi, Christopher.
Hi, how are you doing out there?
We're doing good.
Well,
what do you do, Christopher?
What do you, how about the best question? It seems as almost like, what don't I do with the, in the field? I feel like I've done this. I feel like I've done this my whole entire life. Well, when I sit down and do a reading with somebody, whether it's over the phone, whether it's in person, in my office, or I pull all the gifts, or they call them gifts, or the abilities together. Anyways, such as clairvoyance, which is the ability to foresee, see past, present, and future. I'm also the innate, ability to feel the same past, present, future. And also, my mediumship, is involved at the same time because I'm receiving information from deceased loved ones on the other side of the person I'm reading for. Or sometimes my own or spirit guides come through and bring me extra information and fill in extra details and information and things, So it all kind of wraps together really wonderfully in a session at one time.
Fantastic. Go ahead, baby. Were you going to say something?
Was I going to say something? I can.
I thought you started to say something.
Well, no, people are probably wondering, we have Hypnotized with Bill and Nikki. That's the show. And this is our third show. And the first one was like a frequently asked questions of hypnosis. Last week we had the president of the Society of Applied Hypnosis on the show with us, which, by the way, the Society of Applied Hypnosis is our sponsor for today also. And
so many
of you may be asking, how does a psychic fit into hypnosis? And there's actually been studies done, and, we're going to ask Christopher some hard questions. They come from me, Nick. I believe in psychic abilities. I don't believe, however, that a lot of them that you see on TV are psychic. A lot of them put on a really good show, I believe, and some of them basically don't know what they're talking about. But there's been some research done showing through quantum theories, through psychology, and other disciplines that everyone has psychic abilities, also referred to as a sixth sense. And hypnosis can help you develop those psychic abilities, because you can enter a relaxed state of mind and you can have a freer, more atavistic level of consciousness, and you can really develop those. And, Christopher, I guess that's what I wanted to ask. Do you come from the school that everyone has the ability, just they don't have it developed and they don't know how to use it?
Oh, absolutely. I think everybody has it. And whether they call it a mother's intuition or I have a hunch or, I got a feeling – they're all saying the same thing, and it's just the difference that some people have it and they use it a lot more full strength, then some people don't, pay attention at all to their feelings. I mean, some people, everybody has, just a basic feeling, but some of them really put those aside and push them down, repress them so much that they're not even in touch with that. Let alone being intuitive or the intuitive side of their nature. Now, hypnosis, as you were saying, and really, you have to be receptive to hypnosis for it to work too, correct?
If we're going to do it voluntarily, if somebody wants to come and fix a problem or improve themselves, we always love someone who is cooperative. So, yes.
Yeah. It makes it easier.
Okay, so we're on the same page then to a degree here. So, you know, yeah, you can really reach down and pull some things out of people that may be latent there that, you know, well, maybe it could have came to the surface later on in life. Maybe it wouldn't. Maybe it could, you know, maybe hypnosis will bring it to the surface. Maybe it won't. But chances are, yeah, I mean, as long as you work with that underlying intuitive, the unconscious of conscious mind, absolutely, the hypnosis definitely give you a wonderful asset in working with somebody to get them in touch with themselves and the world around them.
Now, Christopher, you said you've been doing this pretty much all your life. How did you personally, have you always been able to do the psychic part of things and the clairvoyance and the channeling that, or is it something that you kind of stumbled upon?
I grew up in a family. What was supernatural was natural. What was extraordinary was ordinary. And I grew up around it. So it's kind of like, well, Nikki, when did you learn how to speak English? At what age? I mean, I'm not being, you know, a butthead by saying that, but Nikki, but it's kind of
really, I'm asking, kind of a loaded question. I don't know.
No. Okay. I've been asked that so much, and I mean a lot, and it's a perfect question. And it's just that it was always there. I grew up around it. My grandmother, she used to read back in the time. They used to call psychics, what we call psychics today, fortune tellers. Because she got from that time, because she could read all the poker cards and tea leaves and palms and dream interpreted and all that. And growing up with and around her, she taught me a lot of things. And just by being taught and using some of the things, I started doing readings for the public. You know, at the age of 15 years old, because, well, the things I started telling people and seeing and feeling and all started to manifest and happen, you know. And also, I wasn't the kind of a kid that was scared of the dark either because of, oh, what might be in there. I was usually scared of the dark. I remember being 5 or 6 or even younger because of what I would see. And usually they'd be on the other side, you know. And things of that nature, wasn't understanding what was going on or seeing. But I can see the more you use it, going back to just 15 when I started reading for the public, the more you use it, just, you know, the better off it, you know, the better it gets. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, that was going to be my next question for you, actually.
And it's kind of like teaching somebody to cook. It's like, you know, there's recipes handed down through the family from mom or grandma or something like that, you know, it's an old family traditional recipe. But, you know, whoever taught you how to cook, per se. And then once you've been taught basics, you know what? Then you come up with your own recipes and your own little special way you do things on your own. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It does, because that's with hypnosis, a lot of people think, well, some people just can't be hypnotized and others can. And that's a falsehood. Everybody can be hypnotized, but hypnosis is something that you learn how to do. And it sounds like that you're saying the same thing when it comes to the psychic abilities that people have.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah.
How does somebody, is it something, are there some people who are more, my belief is that children are just naturally more accepting of the things and, you know, they don't know what they're not supposed to know and that kind of thing. But are there people who are more sensitive or more open, or how does that play into the abilities and I guess, fine-tuning your ability?
I understand this. You asked about children first.
I think that children are more.
They are
not susceptible. Right, they're more able and willing to receive and to see things, and
they're more open to it.
Yeah, are there adults that are like that too? Are there adults that are like that? Are there adults that are more prone to
Yeah, absolutely. There's adults. I mean, when with the children are more innocent. They have not been taught what is real and not real. Do you understand what I mean? Natural to us is maybe natural to just to them. They've not been taught or conditioned yet. Adults, they have the ability their whole life, and sometimes it gets even stronger. Whether it's A, because they harness it and work with it to become stronger, or B, they just kind of walk around like us, which is really hard. And I've seen this on some people. I've actually seen this enough and heard some cases where they walk around like a live antenna all the time. And literally, a lady that I studied under, she told me when she was just, you know, going into her teens and early 20s, she could walk down the street and see visions in store windows. You know what I'm saying? Just the glass and things. And it literally was breaking, she thought she was going crazy, breaking her down psychologically because it was unharnessed and recognized. And then with a really strong religious background that didn't understand it either, you know, that compounded on top of it doesn't spell for a recipe of a very good combination for her. But
how does religion come into play when it comes to psychics? I know we get a lot of pushback from, you know, a group of people when we do hypnosis. And, you know, it's the work of the devil or so, and it's because they don't understand what it is. But how does that come into play in what you do?
Well, the whole devil thing, anyway, when they can't explain it, you know, the others is like the golden oldie, throw it back in there, go play and play it again. Spiritual development is also being in touch with, you know, your inner self, which is, you know, your subconscious self, your underlying self, being more attuned to yourself than, I guess, to the world around you. And as religion, as, you know, Christians and Jews, you know, taught us, so we're made in God's image, his or her, as you know, with a higher power. Believing in that and knowing that you're made in his image, there's in God's thing, is also within you. And since also he made us in his image and this world around us, and in this world around us, so that make every inch of this planet holy ground. So everything wrapped up in together, you know, is all sacred. And being in tune and in touch with yourself, inner self, or the God within you and the God without, there's a prayer that goes like that, how shall I ever be in doubt? You know, I'm the sower and the sown. I'm God's self-unfolding and God's own. So where it falls to me in it, I just stay away from a lot of people that are loud and, you know, they have their opinions and everybody's going to hell and,
yeah, that's what we do too. I'm not the devil. I just work for him every once in a while.
I just think to myself, wherever you're going to be at, Mr. and Mrs., wherever it is for eternity, I just don't want to be there. Okay, so
yeah,
whatever your issues are, that's between you and your therapist. Okay. Right. And I just kind of just keep going on. I just stay away from a lot of that kind of loud noise. It's just, a lot of it is just pathological sometimes. It's worse anyway.
Hey, Christopher, are you willing to take some calls if people want to call in?
Sure, I love calls. Absolutely.
All right, let me give you the number out one more time. If you're in the U.S., it's 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. If you're calling from Canada, it's 888-815-9756.
And furthermore, if you don't mind, I could give out if you would like to have a consultation with me in person, I could give out a website and my phone number if they would like.
Oh yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay, my personal my personal number is 614-449-6473. Again, 614-449-6473. My website is christopherscott@celestialprophecies.com. Again, that is christopherscott@celestialprophecies.com.
All right. Now, Christopher, what are some everyday experiences that a person may have that tap into their psychic abilities, but they just don't realize that's what they're doing. Like if the phone rings, or if they like want to call a friend, and then the phone rings and it's their friend that's calling them.
Well, you just kind of pointed out that's one thing. You know, like you think, often you think of somebody, all of a sudden, boom, they call. I mean, it happens.
Oh yeah.
Or you just got an intuitive sense of something just isn't right, or something about a person, or you just can't shake a feeling about somebody. Or just how about somebody you meet? You just get it in general, like, you don't know why, you just, like, I just don't get what they call good vibes from this person, things of that nature. Those are all kinds of little everyday things that people get, but, you know, we can turn the world, I mean, the words all the way we want around is in vibes, or get feeling, again, all of it's still, you know, you're getting something. You're picking up on something you always can't explain, but you just know is.
My sister, when my dad had his, I think it was his second heart attack, woke up at, it was like 2:32 a.m. or something.
Yeah.
And did this exact same thing, woke up just in an absolute panic. And
yeah.
Fell to her knees and just started praying, like, oh, my gosh, you know, something is wrong with my dad. And
yeah.
Got to the hospital, and he had, there was some major, major, major complications. And my sister said, well, what time did all that happen? And they said, well, they started at 2:32. And she was like, oh, my
gosh. You know, I find that real common also, what you described right there. I've seen that a lot with twins, people that have a twin.
Yeah, yep.
I've seen that.
He has a set of twins, but they hate each other.
Well, I don't know what to say about that, but I've seen them twins exactly like that. I mean, I was best friends with a set of twins at one time, and two times in particular, one of them did just like what you said. You were right in the middle of, you know, like 1 or 2 in the morning, sit right up in bed, and the other one was just in a major car accident.
Wow.
Yeah, but I've seen that behavior in twins also. And you find that a lot with, you know, mother-son. Not the father-son can't happen, but there's a fine fiber between the mother and the child, no matter what age, how old the kid becomes an adult or not. If it's intangible, but it's a fiber, a thread that's always there.
Right.
And Nikki, you being a mother, do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I know, I mean, I've had things, different experiences with my kids where, you know, they'll fall and get a boo-boo on their knee and my knee starts hurting. I can't figure out why. My son's at school, you know.
Yeah.
And I go and pick him up and he's just got a bloody knee. I'm like, oh, that explains it. Thanks for that, son.
How many hurt? Yeah, really, I mean, I totally can, because when I read for somebody, I'm, you know, whether they're a person or they're thousands of miles away, I mean, they could be on the moon for all that matters. As soon as I hear their voice, okay, as soon as I hear it, I've already attuned into, I'm already connected with their energy. I'm already there. It's like, well, like a wireless phone, I guess. There's no cord. But the reception's there.
Now, let me ask you this. Do the miles make a difference? Can you have a stronger feeling with somebody, like, sitting in front of you versus, you know, working with somebody?
No impact.
No
difference.
Huh.
Not at all. I mean, I read for people that, you know, sometimes write letters. I even have people that are, you know, have a handicap or deaf or something that I have to via go through. What's the person in the middle that does the typing?
Oh, the mediator? Or not a mediator.
Yes.
No, interpreter.
No. It's an interpreter. And things. So, therefore, even through that, I can, it may sound strange, but I can connect, you know, with that person. Even though I have a mediator, it's like, Nikki, you come here for reading and you want to know, say, oh, let's say you have a sister, Jane, for example, and you say, what's going on with Jane? Tell me about Jane. You know, how Jane's helped. Yeah, no, well, Jane isn't here, so how am I connected with Jane? You're connected to Jane, okay?
Well,
and I connect to her through you. It's like a telephone company going through another company to make your phone ring, if that makes any sense.
Right. Yeah, it absolutely
and
does.
There's a thread that, you know, called humanity, if there's any name for it, that's what I call it, that we're all strung together on and touching into that.
Right.
And being
Chris,
open to it.
Are you ready for this one?
Here. I'm ready.
So, I mean, everybody knows that, you know, Nikki and I are hypnotists. I'm also a magician, and I also have a stage show, which is, it's a mind-reading stage show, the best way I can put it. And I can sit down in front of somebody, and I can do it on stage and do a cold read, which a cold read is something, it's a psychic term. You sit down with someone who you have never met before, and you read this person. I can do it. I always preface it with, this is for entertainment purposes only, because I can, when people walk away from that, they believe what I say. I'm doing it for entertainment. And
yes,
they go and tell other people, and they really believe that I'm legit. How do you know if it's somebody like me who does that for entertainment, or somebody like you who truly is legit? How can you know if you go to somebody? Is there
okay?
Of course, you're not getting ripped.
Well, first off, as Nikki said at the beginning, that, you know, the three of us do know each other. We're our friends, and there's that what you call, talk about, you know, casting a mark or cold reading, you know, the parts, a whole field called mentalism, correct?
Yes.
And mentalism can be such a your own combination of things. And first off, I mean, there's got to be a sense, just a general sense of some sort, no matter how minuscule or small. It starts off with a sense, and you're very sensitive and intuitive person right off the bat. But let's go to how they can read. There's face reading. You look for jewelry. I can't tell mentalists when I watch them in the tricks, you know, and how they're reading somebody, and you can tell by their expressions, body language, gesture, breathing, the clothing, so many minute things, and how they begin to position themselves, the nonverbal communication, and how now you are in charge and you're leading them into the reading. You understand?
Right.
You've now got them. You picked them at something, and you are leading them into it. Now, that's am I making sense? So that's usually one of the things I look for. Another thing I look for is this: I like specifics. Now, I'm not always 100% accurate. My accuracy is very high. But when I don't like this company, I'm going to give you a list of things I look for, specifics. And things like so many, which I'm not going to go into, but there's so many out there that make a claim that, oh, I was at some radio station in Asheville at the time, and all of a sudden I got this big thing of this city begins with the name of O, trying to predict the Oklahoma bombing. I mean, they always try to find a gray area where you can't prove they didn't do it, even though they can't prove they did, right there.
Right.
Number two, they're not be afraid of always somebody who can't say, I don't know something. If they can't, there's one lady who's very popular, and if she doesn't know something, what her famous line is, and I think we know who that person might be, is just think about it, okay?
I don't see it too much in the men who are psychics, but in the women who are psychics, they look like they probably have 50 cats at home, and, you just know that it is... They look crazy. I mean, specifically with some of the people that you're referring to now. Why is that?
Well, I think some of it is people, honestly. I mean, it's like, you're right. I love that 50 cats. I have one cat. Number one, the people, being part of the TV generation that we are, okay, there is a side of us that people, it seems like, they expect or are trained or want to see a little something mysterious or something. I mean, they can't identify, or they have a hard time identifying, you know, that you know, what you should look like. Like, I've had people, you know, occasionally once in the blue moon, not so much anymore that I'm older, that would come to my house and ask me where my dad's at. And I'm like, I'm the reader. I mean, and it's like, just don't panic, folks. Relax, sit down, let me just do what I do. Or I've had people say, you don't look like a psychic. And my comeback is, well, you know, I can put a costume on, but that's an extra $15. Like, what does a psychic look like? Well, anybody, I was taught this by a teacher a long time ago, and they always told me that people who drape and carry and dress themselves in high drama are always typically of very little value. And you know, I've met you guys, you have met me in person. I don't know what hypnotists should look like. If they, you know, if I could look up in the dictionary and there's pictures, I guess. But what should a psychic look like? You met me, I mean, walking down the street, we all three met each other. With psychic or paranormal, supernatural things come to mind, or I can tell you're a hypnotist. I mean, those things, and knowing what each other look like, we think that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's what I like about you when I met you for the first time, because you look like a normal guy, and the same with us. People see us and they can't believe we're hypnotists because so many hypnotists are way out there. And, you know, we're just normal people.
I run around in jerseys and T-shirts and jeans. Well, I do dress decent for my appointments, and I don't wear all black and jewelry, and I don't, you know, that, no, and I don't have 50 cats, and, you know, I just, that's TV Hollywood, that's high drama, that somebody who's on some kind of a psychological head trip that I think it speaks for itself. It's hype.
Yes.
Right.
I want to give out the phone number again in case people want to call in. And in the U.S., it's 877-876-5227. Also, you can always go to Nikki and my website at www.bill-nikki.com. And we do have a new addition to the website, which it's called Using Your Psychic Abilities on Purpose. It's a CD or an MP3 download, and you can begin to develop the psychic abilities that you have, but you can develop them and learn how to use them on purpose. And it's just a starter. If you really want to develop it, start here, and then you need to find somebody like Christopher or find Christopher. And Christopher, you have a website and a phone number, right?
Yes. It's 614-449-6473. Again, 614-449-6473. My website is christopherscott@celestialprophecies.com. Again, it's christopherscott@celestialprophecies.com. And one more thing is, you know, bringing those gifts to surface, like you're talking about, that you have to download off of your site. The next thing you have to have is confidence and trust in your intuition. And that's something you build by using it and testing it and trying it on purpose. You know, I really like that. That's a really good way of putting it, but the building up that confidence in it, and how confidence comes, well, you start, you know, just doing things like what your CD and things has on it. Practicing the exercises, everything from the ESP cards that have the squiggly lines and the squares and the circles or stars, or listening to your hunches and following them, you know, really, and knowing that. And then the next thing is, whenever I've given a class, and something somebody has shared with me is, how do you know the difference, Chris, between my own imagination talking, my own voice, or the intuitive voice? Well, I don't know the difference. Am I just daydreaming? Or how do I know the difference? And I really made it really very, very, very clear. I said, well, you know how you sound when you're driving your car and you're really ticked off at the person in front of you. But you're by yourself, right? You can hear the voice inside your head. It's like, I'm really in a hurry. And then I take them to a grocery store, and they're by themselves. They're shopping. They're going through the list in the head of what they need. Okay, that's a different sounding voice. And then the other voice is about You know, those are just two, for example, that I'm rambling here. But the last one I say, now, what about the end of the day when you're, before you go to bed at night, or you're laying there in bed and you're thinking about when you've been really unnecessarily harsh or abrasive to someone, when you're very critical or mean or mean-spirited to somebody, and you know, and it's the voice that says, they did not deserve that. You should feel bad. I mean, can you hear that voice?
That's the sound Nikki
of the voice. Well, if it's not Nikki's, but that's the tone of the voice. Okay, now I can tell the differences of the tones and keeping in touch with that sound of the voice. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm trying to make a very long story short.
No, that makes perfect sense.
That's what I do.
Hmm. When Nikki asked a question because I'm thinking of mine. So.
Can you, once you get your, develop your psychic sense or ESP and all of that, can you always read somebody? Can you always predict something? And then I guess that kind of runs into, can you turn it off? Can you say, okay, you know what, tired of hearing people and...
Actually, that's a good question because, you know, years ago, I would hear, things all the time. And, I mean, I guess, but now, I'm talking a long time ago. Now, I basically can sit down with somebody and I know a capacity that I'm sitting with them in. Okay, and now I'm clicked into the energy. Now let's do what we're here to do. But I have a life to live. And running around with that radar on, people can call it, or all that turned out all the time, it'll drive you insane. However, there are things that do come to me, like I'll be in the middle of, grouting my bathtub, painting, or just actually just sitting back and relaxing. But as you know, as being a hypnotist, when you're relaxing and you're just kind of, your mind's just wandering, daydreaming or whatever, as you're doing mindless work, laying out in the sun or pulling weeds, all of a sudden, something comes to me. Back in December when I was on another radio station and I was, and I write these things down, I was being asked about predictions for the new year. And just things come to me, and these are things I've written down prior to the show, because I did want to mention them, like Gerald Ford's death. And this is a documented case with a radio audience, a DJ, a specific, who and what of he was going to pass from, and boom, now there's evidence, it's recorded. I just can't say, claim to something, there's proof. But other things, even just like I predicted about the volcanic eruption and the earthquake that's going on in Italy. That would come up also in the reading, just certain things. Once you kind of get, real, and that information starts running through you, it's amazing, just the ramble of stuff that comes through.
Wow.
You asked me, can you always, I rarely, the only times I've been unable to read for somebody is only a couple circumstances. If somebody comes in and crosses their arms and legs and just wants to sit there and look at you like, well, tell me. And I'm like,
have at it. Yeah.
And they do. Like, I'm a circus monkey. What do you want me to do? It's like, look, I just relax, take a deep breath, and let me connect with you just a little bit. And, I just don't perform like that. I don't work that way. I get better things to do with my time, and they get better things to do with their money, and that's just, they've already set you up to fail before you started.
We get those clients in our profession because people come in, and they'll sit down, and they'll say, well, I don't think I can be hypnotized, but give it your best shot. I want to stop smoking. And we can't work with people that way.
Right.
No, you can't. You can't. I mean, you're already defeated before you started. And
right.
I don't need that, and I'm just not, I just can't play that game. The other thing is, last but not least, in all the years I've read, there's only been a couple times, I I wouldn't. I didn't want to read it for them. Just absolutely, because I was so disgusted about what they were coming to see me about, and I was just so appalled. I just couldn't do it. And I just asked you. Just appalled. Then you'll get the last but not least, there'll be another client that will come to you, that psyche cops. That means they have gone, they go to every psychic in town, they stop until they get to hear the answers they want to hear. But here's what they'll do. They will, and this is a murder because they don't want to spend any money, act like you were wrong, and yada, 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 to the whole thing. But they got what they wanted out of you. And you know you're right, okay? But then, and so therefore, to try to haggle, money with you, I'm not assuming they're haggling money either. It's like I stopped, this has only happened, I think, twice to me. Once it was about 45 years ago, 45 years, and she pulled that. And then, lo and behold, two of the people I talked to that I'm kind of casual acquaintance with in the field, and they said, I had this lady, and I said, let me guess. Yes, yes. And I said, I'm not reading you psychically. I had her, too, and she pulled this. Yes, yes. I said, well, I hope you didn't take a check. No, but some people that you get all kinds of people that do things like that. Ones that are, you're defeated where you start. Ones that I just couldn't because I was just so appalled at the case. And then you get the ones that, like I just mentioned, because when I read, imagine it like this. When I talk about connection. I keep using that word. Either it's kind of like this. If I can directly reach you right across energy-wise and connect right with you and your soul and your being, I reach around, over top, underneath. As if there was a shield there, I work around it or with it. And slowly but surely, people start to open up and relax, especially people. I've had people scared to death the first time they come to reading it. Literally sitting there, won't take their coat off, and just like, oh, my God, what's going to happen? And I'm like, look, relax, you're going to be fine. And,
right.
Because they really didn't want to expect to get, just like people think hypnotherapists think that you can do the gold watch or snap your fingers and boom, they're fixed and hypnotized.
Right.
It's because
everything's
of
fixed,
TV
right.
generation. Monkey see, monkey do, TV generation.
I'm going to take a couple minutes here, Christopher, just stand by. We need to pay the bills. So today's show is sponsored by the Society of Applied Hypnosis. And those of you who were listening last week, we did have the president of the Society of Applied Hypnosis on the show with us. The Society of Applied Hypnosis is a certification and education organization for hypnotists and hypnotherapists. The trainers that are certified through the SAH offer certification trainings. They meet a strict set of guidelines in order to provide their students with the skills that they need to progress from a novice, not knowing anything about hypnosis, to being a really highly skilled professional, ready to help clients as soon as they go out the door. And I think so many other organizations don't make sure that their students that are going out and opening up their own practice really know how to, work with a client and sit down in front of them. And it's the instructors at the Society of Applied Hypnosis are held accountable for the students that they send through for certification. And if the Society of Applied Hypnosis begins to get complaints about some practitioners that are out there, they start to research who trained them, who in SAH trained them, and then they go back on the trainer. So we want to make sure as trainers that we put out the best quality hypnotist as we can, and they get a lot of face time with people and clients and doing hypnosis inside the training. So if I really recommend the Society of Applied Hypnosis if you're even interested in checking into just you have an interest in hypnosis. But the website for the Society of Applied Hypnosis is www.appliedhypnosis.org. And Nikki, you went through the training there too. Anything you want to add?
No. Do we have a link to them on our website?
Yes, we do.
There you go.
Yes, we do. So I'm actually a trainer for the SAH myself. So if you go to our website, www.bill-nikki.com, that's bill-nikki.com, you can find out more information about us, and you can also find out about the SAH.
Go ahead, Christopher. You had a question. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
There was with hypnosis. I met two incredible people. Since I'm not so strong in your field, correct me. If this is the same people we're talking about. In Xenia, Ohio, there's I believe it's Jedediah and Patty McCormick, is it?
Yes.
Jedediah Smith and I got the names correct. I haven't seen them in a couple years. But I'm saying incredible people. And I had a session with Patty, and she gave me a tape, which was a really incredible piece of work. And I'll tell you, it really did have a very profound impact. It really did on my life at that point in time with things that were going on and stuff with stress. And is this the same center? I mean, that you're talking about?
No, it's probably not. Well, it's not. The SAH is not a center; it's an organization. So it's a certifying body. So you can go through some other classes. For example, they have centers in Xenia, Ohio. That if you go through their classes, you can probably get certified through three or four different organizations. That, as long as the training standards are there, the organizations will accept you. So.
I just know that myself. My mother's also a hypnotherapist, and their health is really bad right now. She's not practicing. And but my experience in the past, absolutely, hypnosis works. Oh my, it really is. It's incredible. But what with me, it took me about after my session, I'm just listening to the tape. You know, I took the tape home with me so I can do the session once. It took 20 minutes once a day. And I'm telling you, things I noticed in my character and in my speech or thought or behavior, I caught myself doing things that was like second nature that I never even thought about. It's like, where'd that come from? I mean, I started noticing differences in my thoughts and feelings and just like, it was really great. It really was.
Very cool.
It really was really, really good. She had my mom's having such bad health issues also. She would be practicing, but the people that she has, she's really helped. And Kathy DeAngelis was another friend of mine who used to be here in Columbus, who now presides in Jacksonville, Florida. She was a clinical hypnotherapist. She always pointed that out. She was also very good. So hypnotherapy is just, I mean. If people can just get away from the stigma and the TV mindset of what they think it is, or people just really don't know what it is. They really don't.
Right.
And it's hard to educate an already brainwashed crowd.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, very, very much so. Okay, I have a couple of selfish questions for you, Christopher.
Okay.
To get.
All right.
Because it's like... It absolutely amazes me, and I love it. I want to get into a little bit about how you use some of your talents. And I know you do the channeling. I know you do the psychic ability. You have that. Tell me a few different things that you do. And then my second question, and this is the selfish part, I know you do paranormal investigations, too.
Uh-huh.
Tell me a little bit about that, too.
Okay. Well, first off, how do I use them? I use them, well, basically in any way I can to help the police department on crimes and cases and unsolved cases. I use what I have to help individuals in their own personal and professional or spiritual life and things like that. excuse me. And also, as you said, paranormal investigations, which is what other people call ghost hunting or haunted house investigations and things like that. And a lot of times, those situations, it truly is, and I do have one big, huge checklist of things I will go through before I even jump to a conclusion that a house is haunted, if questions before I go any further. You really are helping other souls, lost souls, or souls that can't find where they need to be or who they need to connect with here for whatever reason it might be, get to where they need to be. And that's a wonderful thing. I mean, it really is. It's a wonderful thing. It's almost just you're getting so much good karma from doing work like that also.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes any sense, it's like building up lots of brownie points in the storehouse on the other side, you know?
Right.
And I believe sometimes the dead misses us more than we miss them, or as much as, or just can't seem to find, or can be stuck. So it isn't always the boogeyman, the people think of the boogeyman, or anything like that. They think, oh, my God, it's the ghost. It's harmful. No, people. Don't panic. You know, I don't want to sound like I have too much of a relaxed attitude, but I have more of a let's see approach.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Well, that's, now, is it, do they, like in a haunting experience, a.k.a.
Uh-huh.
Like a situation like that.
Our neighbor is haunting his house.
Yeah, that's what we hear.
We just found out today. And the ex-wife says that he won't even leave her alone in death.
He was mean. And apparently he's not nice even dead.
You know what? If that's the case, sounds like if that is the case, you know, some people are not ready to go.
Do people change?
They don't want to.
I mean, if somebody's mad and angry in life, if they are stuck in that, you know, or whatever you want to call it,
that wrath and that place of that. Yes, I mean, oh, absolutely.
Are they still angry, or do they come to peace, or
angry,
are they?
Yeah.
They're still in the
stuck
same
in the position of anger and resentment and animosity and all that poisonous wrath. It kept them stuck in no progression in their physical life. It usually does. And then passing on, sometimes it can even makes it worse. Or they're like, or, you know, usually people like that have a lot of very big control issues. And I'm not dead, and I said so, and that's how it's going to be, you know. Or, you know, they're mad at the world, or mad at God, or mad at somebody, or, I mean, they truly have a grudge. That it's a refusal to progress, and in the case you know they've created sometimes, you know, walking through this world all alone, and imagine being in that position on the other side alone is their own prison they've created, their own personal hell.
Now, is there a difference between, or I guess what is the difference between? Like, sometimes, how to explain this? Sometimes you can, I'm a very, very, very strong believer in all of, like, I know that my grandpa has been with me since the day he died. I know it. I can walk in a room and I smell his aftertaste, you know? So is there a reason why sometimes, like, for some of these spirits, that's it. It's a scent, or it's a particular noise, or a particular.
Oh, yes. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's been a while since I've seen you, and I gave you a reading, and I think it's the thing to point out. I'm impressed that I could smell aftershave.
Uh-huh.
Was that you? Was it? I'm trying to remember the reading.
I honestly, Christopher, I would tell you if I remembered, because you had a lot of things on the head. I don't know if. I don't remember.
You have to tell me.
I can't remember.
Yeah, honestly, yeah, because I get very specific smells. Like, I mean, not to sound hokey or crazy, but yeah, just to give you examples, like Old Spice or lime, sometimes with men, or sometimes I'll smell cedar, or burning wood, or even this one person that said, I said I keep smelling, and this was like in the dead of winter. I said, I keep having a strong smell of, like, muskmelon or watermelon. And it said, oh, yeah, that's my grandmother's kitchen always smelled like melon. I'm like, what? Oh, okay. I didn't know what that's all about. But, yeah, I know that sounds crazy. But, yeah, smells, I mean, that's a smelling. Also, I can see them or hear them, describe their voice, colors, flowers, only some things that they would know about.
Now, what about the ones that you can actually see, like the physical manifestations of?
Yeah, ones I can see.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
It it depends on how they manifest. I can't say one. Maybe sometimes the soul is a little bit more spiritually advanced and can do that. Maybe it's in my scope of vision. Sometimes I can see them in my mind's eye. Other times I can see it peripherally, as if they're sitting right beside me. And other times I can see them, you know, as if they're sitting right beside of you or they're standing there, I can see. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I can just hear a voice and they're telling me, well, tell them this, remind them of that. Like a lady who I had just not too long ago, she used to always watch her grandfather shave, and she always used to like to shave, and she has it at home, and he described it. He said, describe this to her. This is what the soul was telling me about it. It was made out of ivory. It was ivory-handled straight razor, and it was carved in the shape of a nude woman, tastefully done, I may add.
Right.
That was his razor, and that's evidence that you can't dispute. I've never met her before, never been to her home, and had a lot of information to give her. And sometimes, you know, they don't have a lot. They're not around you 24/7. You know, they get other things, or the people, or they're around them, or other spiritual work that they're doing, and the realms are in the vibration they're in. And sometimes they're around us more when we're going through hard times or through difficulties. And it's just because some people think automatically they should just be there. And it's like, I'm not going to sit and say they are, make something up. I don't do that. Either they're there or they're not. And it's not also uncommon that before I do readings, that like if I have a party of people or just an individual, I will have, I'm like just getting ready, and I'm standing there in the mirror shaving or brushing my teeth or something, who knows. And I can see out of the corner of my eye, you know, individuals as if they're pacing up and down the hallway, waiting, just biting at the bit for the people to get here because they're wanting to communicate so bad. Or if I drive out of town, sometimes like this, there's that pecking on your shoulder, like, come on, hurry up, get there. And I'm like, I'm getting there as fast as I can because they're also so anxious to finally make connection.
Right.
I know this sounds kind of crazy, but it is true, at least to me, and this is some of my experiences. As you're going to say, Nikki.
No, I was going to say, my Sierra, my daughter, has had, again, with my grandpa, she used to have stuff happen all the time. And he passed away when I was her age. So, obviously, she had no clue. And she didn't even know his name or anything. I don't talk about it. It's one of those very painful, you know, memories for me. I don't talk about it.
Yes.
And the song came on the radio that was playing when he passed, when I got the phone call. And she turned to me and she said, hey, Mommy, your grandpa's name was Tucky, right? She was 4 years old. And I looked at her and tears streaming down my face. And I said, Puckin, how did you know that? She said, I don't know. He told me. And I said, oh. And she saw him. You know, he used to visit her at night, every night, and she would tell me all about that. And it's like now she doesn't have those experiences anymore. So is it something... Mm. Like we were talking about earlier, people are more receptive to it. Obviously, children are more receptive. If they're receptive young, is there something you can do, or how do you know what I mean?
Well,
how do you enhance that?
Well, she still is young. However,
you're
she
right,
has gotten
right.
a little bit older. She's still reachable to really bring that out in her stronger. And also, let's turn the coin over and look at it this way. It could have been a once-in-a-lifetime thing.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't have to assign an age to it. However, she was very young, what credible
right.
information. And besides the tears, that should have been such a warming experience that, hey, I'm still here for you.
Right. Hey, Christopher, I don't mean to cut you off, but I just looked up at the clock and realized we are out of time.
Yeah, we got about a minute left. Christopher, why don't you give your phone number and your website and how people can come to contact you first.
Okay, well, first off, I love both of you two. I think you're both just the greatest.
Thank you
and,
so much, Christopher.
And you guys do excellent work. And keep in touch with me, too, and everybody else out there. My number, again, if you would like to have a consultation with me over the phone or in person, my number is 614-449-6473. Again, 614-449-6473. And my website is christopherscott@celestialprophecies.com. Again, christopherscott@celestialprophecies.com. And thanks so much for your time, and I hope to hear from you all soon. And everybody else, have a great evening, and I'll talk to you later.
Hey, thanks for coming on, Christopher.
Christopher, it was such a pleasure, and, you know, we love you back, and we always, always love to have you, you know, have a conversation with you. So
We just never get to see each other. We just never get to
see
each
other.
I know. Everybody listening can go to our website at www.bill-nikki.com. That's www.bill-nikki.com. We do have the addition of the audio program, the CD and the MP3 download, Using Your Psychic Abilities on Purpose, which is a good primer to get you started on really getting in touch with your psychic abilities and honing those skills. So I want to thank everybody for listening, and we will catch you next week at the same time, same place.
Thank you, everybody. And, Christopher, thanks again, and we will see you guys next week. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.